Welcome to a new episode of the Apostolic and Prophetic Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 7th of January, and we will have another episode in the new year. Last year, I was talking about the coming Jubilee year of God, and we were looking, it was in April, for those who didn't listen to this one, you can also check it out. It's still online. It was on the 23rd of April, 2023, and it was about the coming Jubilee year of God. And according to the Jewish Torah and the Jewish tradition, the people of Israel were supposed to have every seventh year a Sabbath year where the land could rest. So 6 years people were supposed to sow their fields and to harvest, and on the seventh year the land should have its rest. And after seven times 7 years, so the 49th year was also a Sabbath year, and then in all Israel they had to proclaim the Jubilee year, or the Yobel year. And it comes from the word Yobel for horn, which is the trumpet that was blown. So it was like a wither horn, and that was blown to announce that year when everyone could get back to his inheritance. When people who had to sell themselves as slaves because of being totally indebted, or who had to, they were freed, and those who had to sell their land or their houses because of indebtedness, they were also coming back to their houses and got back their land, and so on and so forth. So the meaning, and we spoke about this, was on the one hand that God doesn't want us to be indebted from generation to generation. God wants free people. And if you are indebted, then you are not free. If you have to pay your debt, then you're not free to choose your work. Maybe you are in a workplace where you don't have peace about the things you are doing there, or you would like to change it, but you cannot because you have to pay back your debt. So we cannot really freely serve God, totally freely, let's say like this, and freely make decisions if we are indebted. So it's not God's plan for us to have debt. And I know this sounds for some people weird, because it's so normal nowadays to take debt for buying a car, for buying a house, for whatsoever. And but it is not God's will, because if you want to know God's will, Jesus explained how we can find out God's will. He said, pray like this. Yes. Your will shall be done, like in heaven, so on earth. So we always have to imagine how things are in heaven to find out how God wants them to be on the earth. So is there debt in heaven? And the simple answer is, of course not. If there is no debt in heaven, there should be no debt among his people on earth. Okay, but this doesn't mean that in general you can never ever take any debt. There are some exceptional circumstances when it might be necessary, and you pray, and maybe God is leading you to ask someone for help, because also the Bible is full of these kind of things, that if your neighbor, he said to the children of Israel, that you will always have also sometimes poor people in the land, and if someone comes to you and asks you because he needs money, you should not reject them. Yeah, also Jesus said, if you give to those from whom you expect it back, what reward do you have? Yes, give and lend, even where you cannot expect something back in return. So Jesus was saying we should be merciful and also help other people if they are in trouble financially. Okay, but this is not the topic of today. Why I'm doing a second episode about the Jubilee year was that I made some research, and I found out last time I found this in on a website. It's called Stand in Faith, and there it was written that the Jubilee year is starting in 2024. And I think, I mean, I didn't really double check how they come to the calculation of this, and that the Jubilee year is in this year starting. And I think also in the other episode, I said it would start last year, but I totally was convinced that I read it correctly on the on this website. But I want to apologize. And after making this research, also that I didn't double check how this is really calculated, because the Jubilee year was supposed to be for the children of Israel after they entered the promised land. So in the exact date, or you can just calculate if you know exactly when the children of Israel left Egypt, when was the Exodus. And there is no complete clarity on this. And there are Jewish scholars and Jewish historians, and there's a Jewish tradition also who sets a date. And according to this date, the children of Israel left Egypt in the year 1310 before Christ. And if they entered the promised land 40 years later, after wandering through the desert, they entered the promised land in the year 1270 before Christ. And then would start that cycle of, after 6 years sowing and reaping, one Sabbath year, and after seven Sabbath years, after seven times 7 years, then the first Jubilee year. So until Jesus, you could say, was coming, or before the birth of Jesus, there would have been 24 Jubilee years, or 24 cycles of 50 years each. And we don't know also exactly the year when Jesus was born. So according to the Gospels, he was born when Herod the Great was still alive, who then ordered also all the children in Bethlehem, all the male children, to be killed. And he died, according to historians, 4 years before Christ, so before our calendar starts. So Jesus was probably not born when our time calculation starts, but a few years before. But the interesting thing is that when Jesus started his ministry, is also in the gospel, it is around his 30th birthday. Because it's in the gospel of Luke that he was about 30 years old when he started his ministry. And this is in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And there it is written, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. And according to the Torah, the priests had to be at least 30 years old before they began their ministry. So if it is written around, we don't know exactly, or about, yeah, we don't know exactly how old was Jesus when he started his ministry. But it is interesting that around, either when he started his ministry or when Jesus died, if we suppose that Jesus was born about 4 years before the official time calculation, when we say AD, Anno Domini, yes, when we say this is the year of the Lord, in the year of our Lord, yes, how people say in an old school way. So if Jesus was born a few years before, then the Jubilee year, there was a Jubilee year in the year 30 after Christ was born, according to our calendar. And the real birth of Jesus, and we don't know exactly how old he was when he started his ministry, there would have been a Jubilee year in Israel, according to the Jewish calculation, if we take the Jewish, let's say, way of calculating it, either around the time when Jesus started his ministry or when Jesus was crucified, because we know that he served about 3 years before he was crucified. And now you're asking, why is this important? Why all these numbers, all this calculation? What does it have to do with me? What is the meaning of all this? And first of all, what I wanted to say is, even we cannot really say how this was calculated. If we take the Jewish way of or the Jewish tradition of calculating the time and the exodus of the children of Israel and the Jubilee years, then this is very important, because then also the announcement of Jesus in Nazareth would make sense, because when around the start of his ministry or the time when he was ministering, when there was a Jubilee year, and a release year for the Jewish people, then this would make sense what is written in the Bible when Jesus was in Nazareth and when he was teaching in the synagogue. And this is also in Luke in chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So what he is saying, actually, you could say that Jesus brings, he is the fulfillment of that acceptable year or that Jubilee year that is written in the Old Testament, because that what he was bringing was even going way beyond that year of release that is in the Old Testament, because this was just on a, you could say, material level. Yes, there were also people who were slaves, they had to be released. Also, people got back their land and their houses, but Jesus was bringing a deliverance that goes much, much deeper. He brings a deliverance from bondage, from sin, from bondage of addiction, from depression, from sickness. He brings a complete deliverance. And this is, we go back to Isaiah, the scripture he was reading, if we read it once more, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," it's Isaiah 61, "because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Okay, hallelujah. So this is amazing. So the real meaning, you could say, also of the Jubilee year is also a prophetic foreshadowing of the salvation work, you could say, of Jesus, you could say, because Jesus or God doesn't want slaves. God wants people to be free. And that's why he was also sending Jesus. And that's why most probably, and I believe this, and please forgive me, but I cannot totally confirm that this calculation is correct, but it what I believe it is right, according to the Jewish tradition, that within, you could say, the time when Jesus started the ministry or when he died, in that time was a jubilee year. And this is no coincidence that those two, you could say, events came together at once, because Jesus is bringing the real deliverance that goes beyond the, you could say, material deliverance that happened on that jubilee year. Because Jesus was always going beyond what was in the Old Testament provided. That's why he said, to you was said, you shall not murder, but I say to you. And then he's going into the deeper meaning. And the same with the jubilee year. Yes, there Jesus, you could say, when with his coming and with his death on the cross and with his resurrection, he brings a global jubilee year for everyone, for all future generations, for everyone who repents of his sins, who turns to Jesus, who receives Jesus as his Lord and Savior, who receives forgiveness, and who receives the Holy Spirit. And then exactly what is written in the book of Isaiah is happening in your life. You will get beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy for mourning, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You can praise God instead of being depressed. you will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Okay, so God wants to be glorified in your life. And this is actually, you could say, the real meaning of the jubilee year. Okay. If you read the rest, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Okay, so, and then comes this, you could say, restoration process. And this is also, again, describing the gospel. God is not just bringing forgiveness through Jesus. He's not just bringing deliverance, but he is also bringing restorations. First, he's restoring you, and then he is using you for his glory to restore the lives of others, to restore what is in ruins, where no one has hope anymore, you could say. Okay, so to sum it up, the jubilee year, we cannot 100% without any doubt, you could say, define when is the next jubilee year. There are different there's a different understanding. There are different sources that say when was the Exodus, and also when was the entering of the children of Israel into the promised land. But what we can say for sure, that it was a foreshadow of the deliverance and the freedom Jesus would bring, and that Jesus wants that every one of us would have his inheritance in the kingdom of God, and that we are not slaves, but that we are free, free through Jesus, and that we can serve others and be a blessing to the glory of God. And having said this, I wish you a nice week, a nice start into the week. May God bless you and use you for his purpose and his glory. And if this podcast is speaking to you, please share it also with your friends, share it with people in your church or your home group, and that other people can also be blessed through this. Have a nice week, and hear you next time. Shalom. Amen.